When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone, welcome to Self Care Club. I'm Nicole Goodman.
And I'm Laura Mishcon.
How are you this week, Laura Mishcon?
I'm excited.
For?
Barker's 15th birthday.
Right.
Tomorrow. Can't wait.
Barker is your dog.
Barker is my dog and he's turning 15.
Why can't you wait?
It's about 105 in human years.
Yeah.
Because it's special to get to 15.
It is. Oh, it is.
We're going to have a little party with him and Miley, aren't we?
Are we?
Yeah.
We're going to have a cake and stuff.
I've bought treats. They're coming from Amazon today.
Aww.
I've bought mutt butter.
Oh, she doesn't love that.
Oh, no.
You know she's so fussy.
I was going to like put them down a lick mat and they could have some mutt butter together. I've bought Barker a little hat and a bandana.
That's so sweet. Did you get one of those disgusting birthday cakes that Miley can never, she can never chew?
I didn't, because to be really bluntly honest with you, last year when he was turning 14, I thought probably the last birthday, better really push the boat out. Spent, I don't even want to tell you, £16 on a dog birthday cake, as in it's made of like dog friendly stuff. And I just thought, I'm not doing that again. I'm sorry. It was a tiny cake.
Do you know what we could do?
What?
There's a cafe very near to us that is a dog-friendly cafe and they have a dog-friendly menu.
You think we should go for a birthday
lunch? They do like beef stew and they do like a fish pie and it's really cute.
Oh my God, that would be very sweet.
We should do that.
I'm going to have a puppy with me as well tomorrow.
Even better.
Oh, we're going to be like dog swamped tomorrow.
Let's do that. Let's go there.
Okay, I've got Sadie Lady with me tomorrow as well, the new puppy. So it's going to be dog heaven.
Heaven. Right, can we get on with what we're talking about
today? Well, how are you? What's going on with you?
Well,
it's not all about me.
You know, I just want to get on with the show because I'm quite excited about this topic. I'm fine. I'm actually not fine, but I really can't bother to talk about it. It's so boring. It's just all the menopause nonsense still, again, and still.
Well, it's not nonsense. It's real stuff.
Oh, it's definitely not nonsense, but I feel shit. To sum it all up.
I'm sorry.
I know. Thank you.
It's not fun.
It's really not fun, and I'm really trying everything I can. And, you know, I listened to another podcast about menopause today, and from a doctor talking about it, and all the advice that they suggest around your HRT. Mm. I do. I drink loads of water. Yeah. I sleep really well. Yeah. I go to bed early. Uh-huh. I don't really drink a lot of alcohol. Yeah. I weight train. All of these things I am doing. And it's just kicking my ass. Mm. It really is kicking my ass. I think I'm just one of those people that's finding it really tricky.
Yeah, but you're definitely not alone in that. And also, I think it's quite helpful to other people to say that rather than la la la, I sail through life. Because lots of women.
I don't know how anyone sails through it.
Lots of people must be experiencing what you're experiencing.
Well,
otherwise there wouldn't be so much chat about it, would there?
I mean, there needs to be more chat. I don't think there's still not enough. You know, 75% of women that go through perimenopause are still not on HRT. 75%.
By choice or because they don't
know? Well, that I don't know, but it feels like a very big number to me. And if it is by choice, then okay, but my feeling is it's more to do with a lack of education around it.
I mean, I feel like I'm subsumed by information on it, but well, maybe because I just am.
You're with me every day, so I'm talking about it all the time.
Yeah.
And we are very much in the wellness space.
Yeah.
So all the accounts that we follow on social media are reflecting that, all of it.
Mm.
But yeah, I know. But even that tool that we went to with Davina, she even said, women still don't know. You can't imagine how many women still don't know what help they need and when to get it and where to get it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So that's that. Right, let's talk about this week's topic, because I'm really excited about it.
We're talking about obsession, not the perfume.
Why do you keep whispering it in a really weird, creepy... I know you're trying to be sexy.
The perfume. I'm not trying to be sexy. That was the perfume advert.
But it sounds creepy.
Obsession. Like, how do you not remember it? It was like the 90s perfume.
I'm now going to have to see if I can find that Calvin sound.
Obsession. That was the ad. They all whispered it.
In a really sexy way.
Yeah, because they're perfume models. Well, they're models advertising perfume.
Yeah, I don't think perfume models is a thing.
Probably not.
You can't model a scent.
No, you can't, which is why the adverts are always so batshit crazy.
Right, well, we spoke about this on Friday's show. Yeah, I'm not speaking about it again.
Okay.
Okay, so that's what we're talking about. Are you going to say, are you going to whisper it all through the episode?
I swear, that's the last one. I mean, I might do one more, but I'll try hard not to.
I don't mind. I quite like it. I quite like it. It's really creepy, but I quite like it.
Now, look, we came to this show because everybody worldwide has been obsessed with the royal family, the British royal family. What was going on with Kate? What was going on with Charles? Nobody knew. The rumour mills were in complete overdrive. And so we wanted to look into obsession, from the sort of relentless pursuit of perfection to the all-consuming passion for a hobby or a person. Obsessions can shape our lives in many profound ways, both negative and positive.
Yes,
I would say.
But the word obsession does have quite a negative connotation to it, doesn't it?
We should probably give the definition of an obsession.
Go on.
An obsession is a persistent, intrusive, and uncontrollable thought, urge, or impulse that occupies a person's mind.
That is not good.
It can manifest in various forms, such as thoughts about cleanliness, orderliness, safety, or specific objects, people, or activities. Obsession can also ignite our creativity, fuel our ambitions, and drive us to beat our limits.
Obsession can also ignite our creativity, fuel our ambitions, and drive us to beat our limits. Yes, but it has to be channeled very, very carefully, surely.
Yes.
Because if it's persistent and intrusive and uncontrollable, that can never be healthy.
No. Definitely not.
You are the least obsessive person I know.
I know. Is that annoying?
No, it's definitely not annoying. And actually, I would say it's been really good for me. Because I'm quite an obsessive person, I've always related to myself as quite an obsessive person. But now when you put it out in black and white with what you just read out, that's horrible.
Well, you're talking about passion, and passion and obsession are not the same thing. It is a thin line, but obsession can lead to like isolation, anxiety, and a really unhealthy fixation. Whereas I think a passion can drive you forward.
Yeah.
So really it's that thin line. And the difference between passion and obsession is the intrusive nature of it.
Okay.
So when you're obsessed, you can get thoughts that are just popping into your mind, like intrusive thoughts, because you're so obsessed you can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
And then you can get very distressed, or you can be very uncomfortable about that, and it sort of commands all your bandwidth.
Yeah.
Whereas a passion doesn't do that. And I think that's the line.
Well, it gives you energy, it lights you up, it keeps you driven, it keeps you ambitious, it keeps you moving forward, it keeps you creative, it gives a lot. Rather than, I think, obsession probably takes things away.
Yeah. I'm very, very moderate. I'm moderate in everything I do. There's nothing where I'm like absolutely mad about one thing and I'm going to use the word obsessed. I'm not. It's just not my nature.
Have you ever been obsessed with, I mean, I know obviously you're obsessed with me, but have you ever been obsessed with... like a guy when you were single, when you were much younger.
Yeah. But I tell you what, before I tell you about that, I was thinking, I do seem to surround myself with people who are, I'm going to use the word passionate because I think obsessive has negative connotations. Like, you are definitely one of those people. My husband is definitely one of those people. My sister-in-law, who's one of my closest friends, is also one of those people. like they get mad, all of you get mad passionate for something and it's like, go, 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 go. That is the thing. And then it's kind of just dropped.
Well, what have I dropped?
I'm trying to think. With my husband, it's really obvious because it can be like a song and he will like play it on repeat 30 times. He'll play it for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks.
I do exactly.
And it's like done.
Exactly the same.
Right.
Exactly the same.
I know.
And I get obsessed about food. So I'll eat it all the time.
Yeah.
Like at the moment, it's chopped salad with quinoa and right. some tuna. Like yeah. obsessed. Love it. Can't get enough of it. Want to eat it every single day. And then in probably like 2 months, I'll be like, ugh, never want to eat that again.
You've done that with smoked salmon and it's really annoying.
I have done it with smoked salmon.
Because we used to have quite a lot of very nice smoked salmon sandwiches. And now it's like, it's smoked salmon. And now I'm like, can't eat it.
I'll always make you one.
No, I know. But yeah. So
yeah, you're right. I do that.
I'm obviously quite attracted to that in other
people. Why do you think that is?
Maybe because it counterbalances me being a moderate.
No, but I think you're the person that balances.
Or maybe they're attracted to yes. me because I'm the moderate. Yes. So it stops a passion turning to an obsession.
Honestly, you are one of the most balanced friends I've had. Because I think I've always attracted people that are more like me, that are very addicted to things or passionate about things or obsessive about things, whatever word you want to yeah. use. And I do mean it in a complimentary way.
Yeah.
And I've always found that quite exciting to right. be around.
Well, that's interesting.
So
why do you find it exciting to be around?
Because, especially if you're into the same thing.
Okay.
Because then you can fuel each other.
I see. Oh, I see.
But I think there's a turning point.
When it becomes unhealthy.
When it can turn to toxic.
So I'm thinking like when you were doing that Hyrox thing and you buddied up with that woman and you were doing it together and you both became, for want of a better word, obsessed with the race and the training and this,
obsessed.
That and the other.
Right? Obsessed.
And so because you were doing it together, you both were aiming for the same goal. So you were kind of driving each other forward and you were both very passionate about it. And that was like, I would say it was a healthy obsession because it was a build up to an event and then the event finished and now like you're not obsessed with it anymore. So that sort of thing. That's when it's healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I have learnt how to channel it into a healthy way.
Okay.
And I think that's come with age and it's come with learning the lessons of when it turns into something unhealthy / toxic.
Okay. That has never happened to me in an unhealthy, toxic way. So I cannot
So what about like when we just said before about being obsessed with a guy when you were younger?
But I was thinking more about... can't believe I'm going to share this on the show.
This episode is sponsored by Horizon Studios.
If you're traveling this year and looking for high quality, sustainable and beautifully designed luggage, then look no further than Horizon Studios, who've launched two new ranges. The RE series, the world's most sustainable 97% recycled luggage, and now the revolutionary Air series, the world's lightest high-end suitcase.
If you have airport anxiety, worrying about the weight of your case when it goes on those scales, then the Air Series is for you and it is definitely for me. The Air Series pushes the boundaries of travel. Each detail is designed and engineered to combine an ultralight and durable product. It's significantly lighter than regular suitcases. Thank goodness, Lauren, that is brilliant. And it comes with a lifetime warranty because the most sustainable suitcase is the one that you only buy once. We used the cases to go to Paris and Wales last year, and as chronic overpackers, we could still wheel them around with ease.
We could. Ultra light and compact, the Air Series is made from a premium polycarbonate hard shell with reduced thickness and a recycled lining. It's 100% vegan and produced in a way that is 99% waste-free, blending design and function seamlessly. So, Nicole, you can pack those extra 5 pairs of shoes with no stress.
The entire range is available on the Horizon Studios website and in all leading department stores. Just go to www.horizon-studios.com.
Horizon Studios. Let's go further.
This week, we are sponsored by Notion.
Why do we love Notion? Because it brings our ideas to life. It's like having access to tomorrow's tools today by combining all our research scripts and notes into one simple space with the added power of AI built right inside, not a separate AI tool or browser tab.
I used it the other day to plan all our social content for the next 3 months. It's made what's usually a really long, daunting task super quick, simple, and streamlined, leaving us with more time and energy to focus on what truly matters, which is bringing self-care to the listeners and less stress for us.
Notion is a place where any team can write, plan, organise and rediscover the joy of play. And the Notion AI turns that knowledge into action. It can answer any question in seconds, summarise your meeting notes and keeps you completely organised. If you can think it, you can make it. It's become an integral part of our podcasting toolkit and we're calling it self-care.
Try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/self-care club.
That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/self-care club, and start turning ideas into action. And when you use our link, you're supporting our show.
Notion.com/self-care club.
When I was a teenager, quite a young teenager, I was obsessed with, and when I say obsessed, I mean fixated, obsessed, day, night, every living, breathing, waking moment with the band New Kids on the Block. Now, you either liked Bros or you liked New Kids on the Block. But listen, when I say obsessed, my bedroom, which was very nicely decorated by my mother, became a shrine. And I'm talking all four walls of my bedroom and also the ceiling was posted in New Kids on the Block. Danny was my favourite. I know he wasn't a popular choice, but he was my favourite. And I honestly did used to snog the posters. No joke. They were my living, breathing world. Every song, every album. And it was cassettes then. And I would analyse the lyrics. My dad got me tickets to the concert.
But you're pointing to something very normal for teenage
girls.
Well,
you say that. But it did tip into something a little bit unhealthy.
But this is very common. Like my cousin.
What we did wasn't that common.
What did you do?
We went a little bit too far, my friend and I.
What did you do?
I'm going to leave her unnamed because she's a very eminent doctor now. But at the time, she was a very silly girl like me. We went through one of the albums and in the albums, they give acknowledgements. I can't believe I'm telling you this, but honestly, this is what we did. And in the album notes, there was a note to our cousins. And now I can't remember the names, Kim and something else. I don't know how we pulled this off because obviously this was pre-internet, but we basically pretended to be the two girl cousins of Jordan and Jonathan Knight. We dressed up, we went to the concerts, and I swear to you, eventually people started recognizing us. Oh my God, those girls, they're the cousins of Jordan and Jonathan Knight. Even though, like, why wouldn't we be backstage with their cousins? Why would we be outside Wembley Arena like a couple
sorry,
of nerds?
Sorry, how were you getting recognised and how were you
because we were, like,
marketing in, yourselves
like,
as
in,
such?
In person.
Doing what? Going up to people going, by the way, do you know we're their cousins?
I can't remember how we put it out there, but we did.
I need to know how you got it out there that people would recognise, to the point where people were recognising you as their cousins.
I wish I could ask my friend because she would remember every single detail. But listen, this is the point it got to. I promise, no word of a lie. We dressed her brother up in like American baseball outfit and a baseball cap. And we put him in my brother's bed in my house. And we basically, and like we turned all the lights off and pulled the blinds down. And we basically like, I don't know how these girls knew, but we basically had a crowd of about 30 or 40 New Kids on the Block fans outside my house because we had told them that they were like staying here, kind of hiding because the crowds at the hotel were too
told?
Much. Just girls we'd met at the concert who kind of told each other, who told each other, who told each other.
And then you told them where you lived?
Yeah. Because it was so thick.
Imagine you're one of your kids doing that and then all these kids
fucking kill them.
Turn up at your house.
Anyway, so these girls like crept up to my brother's bedroom, opened the door
a
crack.
You let them in?
Yes! They opened the door a crack and there they see my friend's brother pretending to be Jordan Knight asleep in bed. Of course it's not. It's just her brother dressed up.
Did they?
They're like crying outside the house, screaming, like, you know, imagine meeting your hero and being invited to someone's house and there he is in the bed. And we were nuts. Nicole, to make it worse, we put on American accents, obviously, because we were their American cousins. We totally got away with this and we got away with it for about a year. I mean, this was on, I know, it's quite shocking. That's how obsessed we were. We were obsessed. And because we were such mega fans, we knew every detail. So like we'd know the shorts they were wearing. So we'd get like a pair of shorts and be like, oh yeah, we just borrowed these from Danny. He'd just come out of the gym and now I'm wearing them. Like,
Hold on.
Yeah.
They're outside the door.
Yeah.
Because you've met them at the concert.
Yeah.
And you're like, we're their cousins. Yeah. He's staying in our house whilst he's here touring in
London. But it got to the point where we'd go to a concert and people would say, oh my God.
How many concerts did you go to?
All of them.
In London?
Yeah, all of them.
So you meet these people.
Yeah.
They're staying, and you're like, well, yeah, they're staying at our house because we're their cousins.
Yeah.
And that we live in London.
Yeah.
Why don't you come over and see them?
Yeah, well, they just came one afternoon.
Well, they didn't just come because you must have given them the address.
It's so long ago that I can't remember the details.
And then these weird girls, not weird girls.
Well, they
weren't
weird girls,
they
were just fans like we were.
Okay, but these strangers turn up at your door.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, come in.
Yeah, but like,
and let me show you.
Don't wake him up.
Let me show you someone who isn't him.
Yeah.
It's just my mate's younger brother.
Older brother, I think.
Older brother. Yeah. And we've turned the lights off.
Yeah.
And no one.
No one.
So they came up to the room. They're crying.
They're crying.
And they didn't like.
They're crying outside the house. But
they're not twigging that it's not him.
No, they're not twigging because we pulled this off so exquisitely. Oh, also, oh my God, I'd forgotten this bit. To look like smart and like posh, in inverted commas, because obviously we were just 13-year-old girls milling around, maybe 13-year-old girls. We used to go into my mum's cupboard and take out her business suits and wear them. Like her pencil skirts and her blazers, like that's what we'd wear because for some reason that made us like New Kids on the Block's cousins. When you dress like a 35-year-old Harley Street secretary, that made you look like a cousin. What the fuck?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
How have I never heard this story?
Well, I don't tell it often because it's mental.
So then what happened?
We definitely had another afternoon at her dad's house where we invited them over again for an afternoon, and then we kind of blagged it that they were maybe coming but maybe they had to go somewhere and do a press shoot.
Didn't you feel bad that you were basically lying to these mega fans?
No, because we were also mega fans. We didn't feel
bad.
But
you were absolutely scamming them.
Well, we weren't scamming them. We were just inviting them over.
You were scamming them.
We were just pretending to be the cousins. And also, like...
It's also called a scam.
And also, the thing was, because it was such a random, tiny thing to find these names in the notes in a cassette tape, but obviously they could go back and be like, yeah, they totally do mention them in that album cover. Kimberly and whatever. I can't remember what the other one was. But the risk of us getting beaten up by these strange mega fans...
Who were now in your house.
Who was?
Did your mum ever know?
Of course not. My mum was completely oblivious. So was her mum. Totally oblivious to all of this. How we got away with so much stuff at such a young age.
Yeah, well, it was before the internet. Our kids can't get away with anything now.
But and also how we pulled this off IRL. Because there was no social media around this. There was not even any texting or WhatsApping. It was just all word of mouth. But I'm telling you, for about...
So is that the only time you've been obsessive?
Yeah, that is the only time. But for about a year in London, I was Jordan and Jonathan Knight's American cousin, Kimberly. Full accent, business suits. Telling all the girls that's who I was. And it was a real thing. And I was obsessed.
I would say that is when it's tipped over.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
That's just my diagnoses on that.
When you turn your passion into an obsession.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get the rest of the story from my friend, the details, because she'll remember everything and I don't really remember a lot of it. I just remember now how mental that was and how I really could have gotten beaten up.
I mean, I do also think that age does obviously matures you and you stop becoming obsessed with things that you would have ordinarily been mad about when
like
you were younger.
Bands.
Like boy bands or boys or certain behaviours that you just wouldn't do anymore, would you? As you get older, you understand. Like, for example, smoking.
Yeah.
You understand as an adult that that's probably not the best thing to do because it's really bad for your health. So
but
you
by
stop
then you're
doing
addicted.
It. But you know what I mean? Like, you have these bad behaviours that you just... Because you think it's cool and then you realise as you get older, actually, it's really not cool.
Yeah, I was obsessed with Marlboro Lights for about 2 years from the age of 17 to 19.
But as you become an adult, you became more moderated.
Yes.
Why is that? Just age?
I was never a crazy, crazy obsessive teenager anyway. That was really like a very acute period of my life. I don't think it was really in my nature. It just something caught fire and I couldn't stop. And I'm very glad I'm not like that anymore because, wow, I'd probably be in prison.
Well, yes and no.
I probably would be.
Yes and no, because I think, again, you learn how to channel it. You're right, actually.
Well, what about that woman? What is her name? The one who pretended to be the socialite? Anna. And there was a whole Netflix and podcast.
Yeah, and there's this whole podcast that I listened to called Scamander.
Yeah.
And she scammed hundreds and hundreds of people out of so much money.
But she was taking cash.
But she pretended she had cancer.
Yeah, yeah.
And she went to major extremes to prove the point that she had cancer. It was really sick.
Yeah.
And really sick. Girl, I mean, this is...
The other girl was freeloading, wasn't she? Off all of her friends. And they were paying for her hotel rooms and her meals and her rent.
But she lived a real high life.
Yeah, because they were all paying for it. But is that an obsession? What's that an obsession with? Wealth, status?
Identity.
Mm. Mm. So have you ever been obsessed?
I've been obsessed with a million things.
To the point of unhealthiness?
Yes.
Like?
No, I mean, they're not as fun as yours. I mean, they have tipped over into horrible things like disordered eating or being completely addicted to exercise. I am obviously still very, very into exercise, but it was to the point where I would have to go twice a day. And if I didn't go, I would be very restless or very anxious or all the things that you said. Mm. When you described what obsession is.
Mm. So it was intrusive.
It took over my entire life. It was the only thing I thought about. It was the only thing I cared about. It was the only thing I could focus on. And I had very little children at the time.
Yeah. That's what they say, that if you, how do you know if you're obsessed? Intrusive thoughts, compulsive behaviours, so like rituals that alleviate the anxiety, distress or anxiety, interference with your daily life, impact on your relationships, and an awareness of irrationality. So would you say you had some of those things?
I had all of it.
Wow.
Yeah, all of it. It was horrible. I've spoken about it many times. Yeah. So at the risk of repeating myself, and I speak about it in the book as well.
Yeah.
I think that's when my obsessive nature very much got the better of me. But my God, I learned so much about how I function and what I need to put in place in order to stay well and to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Mentally, I mean.
Yeah.
I'm always going to have new fads that I'm into.
Yeah.
Like at the moment, you know, I was obsessed with my last gym. Obsessed, obsessed, obsessed. Trained with all these girls. I absolutely adored it. And then obviously I got injured, so I had to leave. And now I'm obsessed with my new gym and I'm really into it. And I'm meeting people there and I'm loving it. And I'm just kind of... And now I couldn't imagine not being there. So... I get very into things.
Would you exchange the word obsessed, healthy, obsessed with fad, faddy?
Yeah.
I think I'm not faddy either.
I think I would. And I've tried every fad diet going.
Right.
I mean, not for a long time, but, you know, I've done Atkins. I've done intermittent fasting. I've done keto. I've done juice diets. I've done whatever used to come out. I don't do it at all anymore. I would try it. Mm. A lot of women do. A lot of women do fad diet. Mm. But that's part of society and conditioning and all of that noise.
Yeah.
But my husband's also a bit obsessive, for want of a better word. He gets it really into things. He was obsessed with triathlons. So he got all the gear for all the bikes and the swimming and the running and the glasses and... all of it, the goggles and all the stuff. And now he doesn't do that anymore. And now he's really into really obsessed with tennis.
Yeah.
Obsessed.
Yeah.
Has to play all the time and the racket. We went yesterday to have a knock around. He's got about 12 rackets.
Oh, I don't know what this racket thing is. In fact, I ended up in Wilson Sports, the tennis place in town this weekend because Ollie had to have two of his rackets restrung because he'd broken strings. And my God, it is a thing. I was talking to the guy who owns the shop and he was like, yeah, the professionals have their rackets weighted at one end or weighted at a different end. And they have, depends if you're playing on clay or grass.
And yeah.
It's like, God, this is like a universe of stuff I did not know about.
There's a real science to it, isn't there?
Yes.
But that's if you're playing like elite tennis.
Yeah. Look, I'm used to living. I'm used to living with a faddy person as well. So Ollie is also quite faddy, like really get into something and then he'll go off it. So I kind of understand these things come and go, but it's just not in my nature. I'm just not built like that. I'm very consistent. I'm just not faddy. And I don't know why that is. Just not. Like, things I like, I always like.
It is anything to do with being neurotypical or neurodiverse?
Yes, it has to be.
It does, doesn't it?
I think so.
Because you are so neurotypical.
Yeah. Painfully.
I think you're one of the most neurotypical people I've met.
I agree. And also, 2 out of 3 of my kids are exactly the same as me. Steady. What did you used to call me? Steadfast.
Yeah.
Literally, they're exactly the same.
Whereas I think all of us, me, Adam, and my girls, we're all neurodiverse in some way or another.
Yeah.
But all of my family are. My uncle, not my aunt, and my other cousin is just not. He's totally neurotypical, but it really stands out.
Right. I mean, my mum and dad could not be more neurotypical if they tried, especially Jackie. Straight as a die.
Yeah.
In fact, I wouldn't even tell her now that I was wearing her business suits.
You wouldn't tell her now?
No way.
She wouldn't find that funny?
No way.
That's so funny. I might have to tell her.
No, please don't. I'll get in terrible trouble.
You wouldn't. I do think it's got something to do with having an ADHD brain.
Well, isn't it that an ADHD brain is always searching for the dopamine? Always looking for the hit?
Something like, your brain doesn't make the same amount of my brain wouldn't make the same amount of dopamine as yours would. Now, I haven't been diagnosed. I am totally self-diagnosed, but I really don't
need... Well, neither's Ollie, but...
But we don't need the diagnosis. No. It's quite clear. My daughter has been diagnosed, so I've done much more research on it and I understand.
Yeah.
So I'm always looking for a dopamine hit because my brain doesn't make it as quickly as yours does.
Yeah.
So, which means that you have like more of an adventure, a need for adventure.
Or risk.
Yeah. Or something that gives you that rush.
Yeah. I mean, I see it in Ollie so much. I see it like sugar.
Sugar.
And
I'm obsessed with sugar.
Yeah, he's also obsessed with sugar.
But also on the flip side of that, I'm either massively into something or I'm absolutely not.
Right. So it's quite polarizing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just thinking whether I'm like that with people.
Wow. Wow.
Buckle up, sister.
Okay.
No, I'm not, because I've had friends for all my life.
But I think the faddy, people with a sort of faddy obsessive nature, often that does happen. They're really, 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 really into someone and then it's like, actually, no. And I've seen that around me.
I have had that with people.
See, I don't. If you're my friend, it takes a long time to become my friend, but then you're always my friend.
But I also think it's with those people that, sometimes it's circumstantial. Like your kid might leave a school and you suddenly don't see these people anymore.
But then I call them people more of acquaintances than natural friends.
Yeah, or you might have a neighbour and then you move house and then you're just, your lives change. And the people that I have been like gotten really, really friendly with really, really quickly, one of them was through the gym and when that all kicked off and started. So we were not a good combination for one another because we spiked the toxicity for each other.
Right.
Which is never a good combination.
No.
So, and then that very much fueled our relationship. But then when I wanted to sort of step away from it, I realized I had to step away from her too, which was a shame because I really like her, but we're just not a good, it's not a good mix if we're very close. And I think she saw the same thing too. We did actually talk about it and I do see her around now and it's always really nice to see her. So to have someone like you in my life who is moderated and not faddy and just very centered with everything is such a breath of fresh air.
It's quite boring though.
I'm so not bored with you. I'm never bored with you.
But I mean, it's quite boring to be like this.
Is it?
Well,
you're not boring. There's nothing boring about you.
And I'm not bored. as a human being, but also no. like there, I'm everything is sort of always, you know, like I know you joke all the time that I'm fine, but that's normally just because I'm fine, because nothing's high, nothing's a huge high, and nothing's a low low. Everything's always kind of very nicely balanced in the centered, which is why I would always say, yeah, I'm fine, because I am. But it's not like thrilling. That's not thrilling.
But you don't need the thrill.
Either. I don't want it. Whereas particularly.
Whereas people like me and Ollie do. We do need the thrill.
Yeah. But then maybe you also need the like being, having your feet on the ground.
So as I get older, I realise that that steadiness and that calm, whereas I used to think of it as boring, it's actually very, very necessary. Like I used to find Sundays really difficult because they were slow.
Yeah.
And we used to sit around and we'd watch TV or we'd go for a walk or yeah. just chill.
Yeah.
And it's only very recently that I've started to embrace it because I realise I need it.
Yeah.
But it's taken me a long time to understand and reshift that, just to reshift it into something positive rather than it being, oh, that's boring.
Yeah. I do think also you do mellow, not you, you, everyone mellows a bit with age. Like I've definitely noticed with Ollie now, he is much more able to settle and slow down and rest and be still than he used to be when he was in his 20s and 30s.
Yeah, and I do think that does happen just with maturity.
Yeah, so that's probably a good thing.
So when we first started doing this show, when we first started talking about this show, yeah. it was all on the back of everyone's obsession with where Kate was.
Yeah.
Obviously, we now know
yeah.
where Kate was, and we wish her well, and we hope that it's a smooth journey for all of them. Do you think, this is my question, do you think that the press and the British people will take something away from all of that? Because the noise that was surrounding all of that, and then she came out with the statement that she actually has cancer. Do you think that's going to change the obsession?
No. Because even today, which is 48 hours after she's come out with this statement, the headlines are still that certain countries around the world are now chucking a paraffin on that fire and saying, well, oh, she had cancer. Well, she could have told us that a month ago. And what kind of cancer does she have?
And, oh, no.
Right. And they're basically saying that they're putting this stuff out to try and destabilize the country, which I really understand because that does feel quite destabilizing. So they're saying, although, you know, she was essentially kind of pushed into a corner to make a statement and stop this crazy rumor, overkill, overdrive thing that was happening everywhere on social media everywhere, it actually hasn't really stopped. Well, where is her cancer? Well, why is she having preventative chemotherapy? Well, why? And then the next one was, well, nobody goes into hospital. Some doctor in America saying nobody goes into hospital to have a procedure and not look for cancer and then cancer's found. That's not a thing. So what's really going on? You know, it hasn't.
It's very distasteful.
It hasn't stopped it. It hasn't.
And also, was it our place to know that? She obviously felt she had to say, tell us what was going on because there was so much speculation surrounding it. And all the things that I've seen online is in pure support of her. I haven't seen anything that's questioning anything that she said, which I am so pleased about. But that noise that you've just mentioned is so distasteful.
Mm.
And when will it stop? Like, did we not learn our lesson with Diana?
No.
But it's terrible. That obsessive nature of the British press. When will that check? What will change that?
The thing that's pissed me off the most is now all the social media accounts and everyone who was doing all the memes and all the videos and all the everything have now said, oh no, actually, like, just be kind because she's got cancer, so just shut up. It's like, literally yesterday you were putting up the joke meme about her. Shut up.
Well, they didn't know. They didn't know.
No, I know. They didn't know. You can't do this full 180 of like, oh, leave her alone, leave her alone. It's like, you've been fueling all this, dude, on your account.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. Like, when she made the announcement, I mean, my mouth dropped to the floor.
Yeah, mine too.
And I just thought, none of this is okay.
Listen, if God forbid you or I were ill, no one has any business being privy to what is wrong with us, what's wrong in our body, where we're being treated and how we are. That is up to you and I to tell whoever we may wish to tell. And it is completely private. The thought of having to tell your young children that, be going through that, and then go on national television looking as well as you can when you're
It's more international television,
worldwide television. Yeah. When you're obviously, you know, going through treatment and feeling terrible and having to put out this whole statement to the world, it's pretty shocking that she has to, but she had to.
But should she have to?
No, she shouldn't have to, but... no, she shouldn't have to, but she kind of does.
I know.
Because she's a public-facing person and she's going to be the queen one day. Does that mean we're privy to her personal medical information?
That's what I mean. Well, she didn't say what cancer.
Nor should she have to.
No, she shouldn't have to.
I'm sure that will eventually come out.
But you made a very good point that years ago, let's say one of the members of the royal family had cancer, which I'm sure they have over the years, but we just haven't known about it. No. So this is a fairly new thing.
Yes, I think with Charles saying that he had cancer, I think that was incredibly a real novel new thing, because I don't know for sure, but the rumours have it that the Queen in the end died away and she was very old, but she had bone cancer. But that was never public information. I don't know if that's actually true, but you know, that was not our business. It's not really our business that Charles has cancer. So it is quite interesting that he chose to be open, but maybe it is tantamount to how the royal family are trying to be more like of the people, in inverted commas.
And do you think that it's from the curiosity of the people that they are... Well, I say curiosity, and I think that's being kind, isn't it? Because really it is obsessive.
It is definitely obsessive.
In the toxic sense. I don't think there's any passion in it. I think it's coming from a truly obsessive place, and I don't think it's okay for her then to have to share her medical history with us.
It really is none of our business, but also she is such a huge public figure. When she vanishes, it gets noticed. It's tough. It's a tough one.
And I think there's a lot of, you know, we're spanning out, aren't we, in terms of obsessive natures and obsessive cultures and societies being obsessed with certain things that I just think it's really interesting that, and especially when it comes to women, that I think society are still obsessed with the same things for women that they were many, many years ago. And I don't think those obsessions have changed.
And they're not healthy.
There
is an obsession with being thin. There is an obsession with staying young, looking young and not aging.
Yep.
Right? And there is an obsession with being pretty.
Yep. Yep. Decorative in whatever form that is. And even though the language around it changes, like my girls now talk about having a big bum, that's supposed to be a good thing, it's still the same problem.
Of course.
Because it's still encouraging young women, all women, to obsess about how their body looks and making it fit into that whatever is fashionable for the body type,
which is also absurd, because that whole big boobs, tiny waist, big bum Kardashian aesthetic is not real. Because if you do have big boobs and a big bum, the likelihood is you're going to have a substantial waist, because most women are not born with that figure. Neither, God bless her, was Kim Kardashian. So these women are trying to recreate this figure that doesn't exist in reality.
Which is still completely unreachable.
Of course it is, unless you go down to the plastic surgeons, right? So you're striving for the impossible.
I think it's more unreachable than when we were young and our muse was Kate Moss, to be like this heroin chic look, being absolutely skinny. I was never going to do that because I've always had a big bum, wide hips and big boobs. That was never going to be my look. Funnily enough, this Kim Kardashian look is probably
more for you.
More obtainable. But the point is that it still creates the same obsessive natures.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. But is that women's fault for buying into it? Is that society's fault for making women think they have to be like that? Like, where does the responsibility lie for all of this?
Or is it just plain old consumerism? Is that where it comes from?
I mean, I often think if we all, you know, lived on a desert island, just women, like 200 women together, would any of them wear makeup? Would you shave your armpits? Would you have your nails done? Would you care what your figure was like if you weren't under the gaze of men, assuming these are like cis women?
Do you still think women? it's for the male gaze? Because
I don't know.
I don't know if I buy into that anymore. You think about if I go to a party, I am so much more interested in what women are wearing than what men are wearing.
Yeah, me too. But I just think if you...
And if a guy comes up to me and says, you look nice, or a woman comes up to me and says, you look nice, they have a completely different meaning.
Of course.
And I much prefer it when a woman says it.
Yeah, me too. But if you took the men out of the equation and we were just all hanging out on the desert island together, would we care as much? I think
we wouldn't care as much because we're on a desert island.
Well, we've been conditioned also. Okay, it would be more realistic if we all lived on the desert island, we were all pregnant, we all had daughters, they all grew up on the desert island and we all disappeared. Would they care? No. They wouldn't care because they'd have no social conditioning around it.
They'd have no social conditioning around it.
Yeah.
But if they were still living in the big city,
yeah,
doing all the big city things,
yeah,
going out for dinners, going to the lovely restaurants, going to the theatre, going to parties, doing all the exciting, lovely things, you would want to look nice whilst you were doing it. Well, if you're on a desert island, you're not doing anything. I remember in COVID, I cared a lot less about my appearance. I put on probably a stone and a half of weight. I was absolutely fine with it because I wasn't going anywhere. I wasn't doing anything. And I thought, oh my God, I can finally let go of all of this. But it wasn't until society came back into play and we started to go out and integrate with the real world again. It's like, oh no, I do still care.
Yeah, but this, you know, all of this, it was such a break in, in reality. And everyone was like, oh, we'll never go back to this. We'll never go back to that. This is the new normal. The thing is, human beings are set to return to what, to their status quo, and this being out in the real world and all the bullshit that's around it is the status quo. The being locked in your house and not wearing makeup was not. It just wasn't. I don't drink wine at lunchtime anymore, sadly.
I mean, there were some days I couldn't even make it to 5 o'clock. Anyway, so I think it's an interesting thing to think about whether it's a good thing to be obsessed with something.
Yeah.
And actually, I do think you're right, because the passion and the obsession, they sit very closely together. And if you can channel it into a passionate place, then it's going to really work wonders for your life and it's going to add to your life in such wonderful ways. But if it's going to turn into obsession, then I think it's just going to rob you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
So that's our show on obsession.
Obsession.
I would like to hear some of your stories around it, if you have any times you've been obsessed and how you've worked through it, if you've worked through it, and what your relationship to obsession is.
Yeah. Did it serve as like a catalyst for self-growth and resilience, and did you learn from it, and, you know, does it help you, once you get over your obsession, understand why you went into it and move forward in a healthier way.
Yeah. So you can be in touch with us about that. hello@theselfcareclub.co.uk. All our links are below in our show notes. If you want to purchase our book, please do. Mm. It's still great. Mm-hmm. And the link is below. Just scroll down and you shall find it. Or you can search on Amazon for Have You Tried This? And it will come up. And we will be back on
Wednesday with a midweek meltdown. We'll see you then. Bye.